Let us pray. God, we come to you now as we reflect on this day that Christ is King. And God, may you speak to our hearts, may you transform our lives so that we may fully follow Jesus, our King, to do his will, to be your people on the earth. Amen. Well, William Wilberforce was an abolitionist in the late 1700s. And on one night, he was very discouraged after another defeat in his battle against the slave trade. He went home, frustrated, tired, sat down, and began to leaf through his Bible when a small note fell out and fluttered to the ground. As he picked it up and he opened it and he looked at it, it was none other than a note from John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, that basically said this, that unless the divine power that has raised you up is with you, I see not how you can go on opposing the abominable practice of slavery, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. But if God is for you, then who can stand against you? A way that I sum that up is Wesley is saying that if God is not at the very center of everything that we do, even if it is admirable, that life's difficulties will wear us down and wear us out. But if God is with us, that if God is at the very center of everything that we do and who we are, then nothing will be able to stand against us, that we will have the strength and the wisdom of the Almighty as we seek to live out that calling of fully loving God and fully loving others. And as we look at our scripture today in Colossians, Paul was writing this letter from prison to the city of Colossae, where these new believers were seeking to follow Jesus. And Paul knew that these early believers in Christ would face many trials. They would face many temptations. And Paul wanted them to be able to stand firm in the faith. As Paul later went on in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, he said this. He reminds them to hold on to hope, to remember the gospel, and to not be swayed by those around them. As I mentioned, the Colossians were younger believers in Christ. It is thought that they came to Christ through the Apostle Paul's powerful ministry in the city of Ephesus. And that effect had spread down to the Lycus River Valley, where Colossae was located, which today is modern-day Turkey. And while these Colossians were seeking to follow Christ, they were also being pulled in many different directions. People were trying to get them to follow ways of Gnosticism. They were trying to get them to follow paths of worshiping angels, of following Greek religions and philosophies, all the while the evil Emperor Nero was ruling the Roman Empire. They were facing a huge task in trying to follow Christ while also being pulled in lots of different directions. Paul wanted to see them persevere in the faith, to be mature in Christ, and he knew that the only way this was possible is if they fully surrendered their lives to Christ. That if they let go of the old and they clung to this new life in Christ. Even today, we know that this is much easier said than done. For us to truly follow Christ, to give him every aspect of our lives. It's incredibly challenging. It's much easier to say to Jesus, Jesus, you can have this part of my life and this part of my life, but these areas I get to keep. Yet just as it is with the Colossians, to truly follow Jesus as our Lord, our King, it requires all of us. It requires us to let go of our old lives and cling to our new life in Christ. It is a huge transition. And it reminds me of, in November, we celebrate National Adoption Awareness Month, where we remember the many children that still are in need to be adopted today, the many successes of those who have been adopted, the challenges and difficulties that come with adoption, and also tearing down even some of those stereotypes that come with adoption. This month, it reminds me of when I adopted my oldest son, Roma, from Ukraine. I hosted him when he was 8 years old, and my ex-wife and I, we adopted him when he was 11. Right now, he's actually out in Utah studying advanced auto mechanics. Thankfully, I'm going to get to see him. He's flying in for his Christmas break, and I can't believe it. Next week, he's actually going to turn 23 years old. It's kind of crazy. And when we first started hosting Roma, and we adopted him when he was 11 years old, even though the adoption was wonderful, Roma went through a lot of changes. Things that we just kind of went about our daily lives with were completely new to him. I can remember the first time that we hosted him, and he only knew a few words in English, and I knew some words in Russian. I was taking Russian lessons, and I can remember him looking at me confused, knowing he needed to say something, not quite sure how to say it, and then he finally went, toilet? Yes, let's go this way. And so even from the very beginning, it was a challenge, and after we adopted him, I can remember things like food that I thought was very bland, to him, tasted very spicy, which it's not surprising when you look at the Ukrainian meals. They tend to be very potato and mayonnaise-based. And so any little bit of spice seemed spicy to him. In the orphanage where he stayed, it was very different. Where he slept was this large room that was filled with many beds that was occupied by many boys. And to say the least, there was a little bit of survival of the fittest and learning some street smarts to get along. And it was very difficult for him to transition then into becoming a part of a family, where now he had his own room and his own clothes, his own toys. It was wonderful being able to adopt him, but it was quite the transition from his old life to his new life. And it would have been impossible for Roma to hold on to his old life and try to live that way as an orphan, and at the same time try to live his new life as a son adopted into our family. And the same is true for us if we are to seek to follow Christ. It requires a transition in our life. And that's what the Apostle Paul was getting at with the Colossians. He wanted them to understand that they had a new citizenship. They were a part of a new kingdom. That they had a new king. And he also wanted them to realize how this citizenship came to be. That it wasn't because of who they were or what they did. As Sharon read for you this morning in our scripture, Paul points out that this was all possible through Christ's death and resurrection. That it's through him we have this inheritance. That while we were once lost in darkness, Now we have been transferred into God's kingdom of his beloved Son. That it is through Christ that we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. As we celebrate today on the church calendar Christ the King Sunday, we also realize that Christ the King is much different than earthly kings and earthly rulers. Jesus, who is king, also suffered a cruel death at the hands of the state. Jesus, who rules over all of creation, entered the world in the flesh as a vulnerable baby that we will be preparing for as we enter Advent next week. And while our King Jesus is a vulnerable, suffering king, the Apostle Paul also wants us to realize that Jesus is fully divine, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that it is through Christ that he creates all things, holds all things together, and reconciles all things to himself. What does all this, though, mean to us today? What do we do with this? What now? I believe we can connect with this in many different ways. One is we live in a world just like the Colossians that we have many things pulling at us, calling for our allegiance, sometimes telling us, sure, go ahead and follow Jesus on Sunday morning. But the rest of the week, we face the temptation to surrender our lives to power, to wealth, to political parties, to greed, to many other things. Sometimes we are fed a lie that tells us to keep our faith private. We need to keep our faith to ourselves. Yet, while our faith is very, very personal, it was never meant to be kept private. Sometimes we are sold the idea that while our faith in Jesus may be important to us, don't take it too seriously. Don't let it impact all the areas of your life. Yet for us to follow Christ, for us to surrender to him as our King and our Lord, it means that we can't just squeeze Jesus into our old way of life. It means that we can't just add a religious / spiritual section to our old lives and keep Jesus located in that area. But to have this new life in Christ, it means we have a new allegiance. We're seeking a new kingdom. We're following a new king. And so, my friends, I encourage us to ask the question and evaluate where we are today by asking, who are we following? What are we giving our allegiance to? Who are we seeking? Just as Paul desired to see the Colossians fully formed in Christ, loving God and loving others, this is what God desires in us today. For us to have this allegiance to Christ above all else, to live these lives that are countercultural, to look at the example of Jesus and how he lived and how he called us to live, and be willing to step out in faith and trust that the grace of God can make that possible in our lives. But sometimes we settle for something less than that. As I said, just giving God a little bit of our lives, a little bit of our worship. And when we do this, when we choose to do that instead of living these countercultural lives in Christ, it reminds me of when I would play with my children, they had these animal puppets of a lion, a tiger, an elephant, and I could put that lion puppet on my hand, and I could pretend to be a lion, and I could roar. But that puppet was far from actually being a lion. And I believe that's what happens when the church lets the world use it for its own agenda. We end up looking like that puppet, where we appear to be the church on the outside, full of the power of God, but on the inside, we're empty, controlled by earthly kingdom values. When we don't follow the countercultural way of Jesus that he has laid out for us, it's almost as if we are like a marionette with the strings attached to our hands and our feet, where we appear to be following Jesus, but all the while we are controlled by the strings of earthly empires. As Keith Giles, who wrote the book Jesus Untangled, wrote, and this really challenged me and spoke to my heart, he said, "The kingdoms of this world are self-serving empires. They are not seeking to do God's will. They ignore the values of God's kingdom, such as love, mercy, grace, justice, compassion, and service, and instead embrace the values of war, violence, torture, exploitation, greed, power, lust, and the list could go on. The kingdom of God that we should be seeking is not congruent with the empires of this world, no matter how good they may appear to be at times. They are not complementary. They are opposing forces with radically different goals, values, and ideals." My friends, as I prepare to wrap up and close this morning, I want us to reflect on this, that if Jesus the Christ laid down his life for us and for the world so that we could be redeemed and reconciled to God, my friends, if we are going to submit to Christ as our King, our Lord, it requires us to lay down our lives for him and for the kingdom of God. That if we truly confess that Christ is King, may it permeate every aspect of our lives, whether we're at school or work, with friends in the community, how we talk about others, how we spend our money, how we invest our time. To follow the kingdom of Jesus is to look like Jesus, to live as Jesus lived. I'm reminded of how the book called Postcards from Babylon sums up a small aspect of this, when it says we can know how to do this by looking at the life of Jesus. Enemies, love them. Violence, renounce it. Money, share it. Foreigners, welcome them. Sinners, forgive them. When we follow Jesus and fully submit our lives to him and truly confess, not only with our words but with our lives, that Jesus is King, it is revolutionary. It changes our lives, our hearts, and it changes the world around us. And so, my friends, as we proclaim with our words and our lives that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King, may we not only know and experience the grace, the love, and the peace of God, but may we make Christ known in our world. Amen.